I'll give you the definition of Christian unity for, we've been doing this, what, 8 or 9 weeks? So who's got the definition down? Somebody got it memorized? Got it to heart? Well, tell me a little bit about Christian unity. What differentiates it from the world? This is just to kick us off and get us started. What differentiates Christian unity from the world? Unity we find in the world. I mean, we see unity at the Razorback Stadium. We see unity in motorcycle riding. But what is the distinguishing mark of Christian unity? The gospel of Christ. So a gospel, there's some other distinguishing marks of Christian unity. What are they?
Holiness.
We're going to glorify God. Something else. What's that?
Diversity
for all brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're united with all brothers and sisters. And what unites us? It's not a trick question. Jesus, it's easy. It's that easy. We're able to gather with others because of the forgiveness that Christ has forgave us. And so that's that overflow of us being able to gather with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And so what's the context of this Christian unity now? I'll give you a hint. The title of the series, I don't see it in here. It's on your bulletin. What's the context? The church. Thank you. See how easy that was? So you guys have got Christian unity. That was the first lesson. We may have to back up and go over that again. But Christian unity, God glorifying, gospel revealing love for all brothers and sisters in Christ, fueled by our forgiveness in Christ that expresses itself most clearly in the assembly of the local church. So I think we've got two more lessons after this. So you know our title of our series is Living as a Church. So everything that we do is around what do we do as a church. And so we've talked about breadth of commitment, which is every tribe, tongue, and nation. We've talked about depth of commitment, how membership is formal, and we have to have that commitment, and it runs deep based on the cross. We've looked at church discipline, we've looked at encouragement, we've looked at prayer and praise, and I could continue, you know, on and on with the things that we've looked at. But today we're going to look into giving and service. So sacrifice for the sake of unity. So when you think about giving and service, there's going to be a sacrifice that goes with it, because if we give something, that means it's something that we could have used for our own benefit and for our own needs. But when we give and serve, we're sacrificing for the sake of unity, for the sake of our Christian unity as we speak. We look at Christ as he serves as the model for the church, his Christian service. And then when we talk about what we're given, when we talk about gifts, what I'm talking about is your time, your gifts, your resources, and your energy. All that we have for the good of the church. If we look in Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." To give his life a ransom for many. Perhaps you're sitting there today and you're saying, what does this mean, ransom? Ransom for many. What is that terminology? What does that stand for? It's simply that if we're going to be reconciled to the Father, if we're going to be reconciled to God, the only way to do that is through Jesus Christ, his Son. So if we go all the way back to the beginning, God created everything and it was good. And then man sinned against God and he was alienated from God. He was put apart from God. And then God's been working ever since through Christ to reconcile us back with him. So Christ is your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ paying the ransom is what that's talking about there. Paying the price, paying the penalty for the sin. Because we couldn't uphold the law. We needed someone to pay that for us. And so when it says that he'd give his life for a ransom for many, he's talking about Jesus. And he's talking about that's why we're gathered here today. So if that sounds a little foreign to you, if that sounds like, where is this coming from? What are you talking about? Ransom and reconciliation and creation. If you've got any questions about that, I'd be glad to talk to you after class, because that's our purpose here today, is to glorify God and to glorify Christ. Ask anybody that's sitting with you. They'll be love to give a reason for the hope that's in us. So we look to Christ. We look to Jesus as our example. Jesus tells us to take up what and follow him? Take up our cross. We're to take up our cross and follow him. And that's going to indicate that there's going to be some sacrifice as we give and as we follow Christ. And then as we serve, we do that in the overflow of our hearts. We're not doing that service out of guilt or service because it's, I'm feeling pressure to serve. We serve in the overflow of our heart for Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And then that overflow unleashes ministry and unleashes all the things that we've talked about living as a church. It makes membership make sense. It makes having ever the breadth of commitment make sense. It makes discipline make sense. Love makes sense as we serve and exhibit Christ to a lost and dying world. So the purpose of this class is we're going to consider how God has called Christians to serve in the church through various gifts. And then we're also going to consider how we should serve in a way that promotes unity in the church and at the same time brings glory to God. If I give you a quick summary of the class, we're going to break it down into theology of service. We're going to look at four ways in which service contributes to unity. And then along the way, we'll reflect of how we get that wrong. And my hope in all of this is that we spur each other on more and more to love Christ. We spur each other more and more on to let God have the glory and then for our good. So looking at the first point in your bulletin there is a theology of service. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11 tells us, "And each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." So if we look at this verse, we can sum up what we've been doing in our class. So one another, when you see one another, what does that speak to that we've learned earlier? It was like the second or third lesson. What does that speak to that we learned earlier? The one another's is an indicator of. It's our membership. Depth of commitment. If we look at the varied grace, that's our unity and diversity. That's our breadth of commitment. All the various graces that God has given us to serve in the church. And then you remember we had Ephesians 3:10 as our purpose statement for this class, where so God would be glorified. And it says, "So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." So us gathering together as a church, working out, living as a church, it shows the world who God is, and God gets the glory for that. And that's what we've been teaching and working through in this class as we go. So I've got five things there that you can see pretty quick from 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. It says right off the bat, each Christian has received a gift. Each Christian. So you're sitting there today maybe going, what do you mean gift? Are you talking about me? Yes. Yes, I'm talking about you. Scripture says everyone has received a gift. So as you begin to understand your value in the church, know that you've received a gift. And then how did you receive it? The gift is a gift of God. It's a result of God's grace in your life as a Christian. We also see in this verse that we're responsible for the use of that gift. And if we look at responsible, if we take responsibility, so to speak, and we say, okay, we're responsible and we're able, it means that we know we should, it means that we know we can, so we have the responsibility to use those gifts and to build up God's kingdom. And then that's my fourth point, is we should use the gift for the benefit of others and the glory of God. Use the gift for the benefit of others and the glory of God. And lastly, we should serve through God's strength, not our own. We should serve through God's strength, not our own. But I think the thing to remember in this verse is that as Christians, all of us have some special manifestation of God's grace in which we build up others in the faith and bring glory in God. So when you look at your worth with Christ, He's gifted you. He's given you various grace. He's given the body various gifts. Every one of you has those gifts, and we do it to build up others and build up the church and to glorify God is what we're looking at doing. So what's the purpose of those gifts? In Ephesians 4:12 through 13, it's the unity of the body. Unity of the body. It says, "To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God." So the thing that we need to see is we need to strengthen the whole body, not just the parts. It's a view of helping the whole body grow in unity And then God gives us these gifts according to grace, exercised in His strength, not primarily as a means of personal fulfillment, but as a means to strengthen the body of Christ, for nurturing the church, that it might grow in unity, is the purpose of it. If we look at, if we switch gears a little bit, now all throughout we're going to talk about our purpose and give a description, and then we're going to also look at the flip side of it, is how is service done wrong? How has service gone wrong? And so that's our first one, and I think you see it in your handout. It's belief that we're entitled to serve in a particular way because it is the way or the path to personal fulfillment. So we see that the goal of service is strengthening the body, and we need to serve where the body needs strengthening. And I think we need to recognize that gifts shouldn't limit us. We shouldn't pigeonhole ourselves with, I just have this gift or I just have that gift. We could be wrong in what gift that we think God has given us. It's better, as we think about service, it's a lot better just to roll up our sleeves and get to serving than to sit around and wonder what our gift is. Yeah, and through that service, you'll develop the relationships. I think VBS is a great example. So don't be hesitant in serving. If you see a need, meet that need. You have the responsibility to work out that need. If that's something you can do, and if you have time and the resources, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But think about VBS just this week. There's a couple of great examples that I was able to witness in VBS. So I don't know, how many of you know Nat and Randy Dotson? Y'all know those? So a few of you know them. Sometimes they get up and sing in front of us. I saw Nat and Randy serving in VBS. And they were doing something that I don't think I would not have enjoyed it. But they were doing it without grumbling, and they were doing it with commitment. They were slicing grapes in half. Two big vats of grapes. They were just sitting there slicing those grapes in half. Now, that may not seem like a gift to you. You know, when we think about gifts, we immediately go to the higher gifts like preaching and teaching, things like that. But that was a gift to the church. Really, a gift in the church is doing something that imparts grace to another. So they were slicing those grapes so those three-year-olds could have a snack and keep their energy going and listen to the word and listen to the gospel message and not choke. So what a gift to the church. And what a servant's heart to be willing to sit there and slice grapes in half. You know, we had some new members that served, Matt and Janie, if some of y'all hadn't met them yet. But they were serving by just simply registering people as they come in. So what a great way to get to know members of the church. What a great way through that, this simple, hey, I've got you, here's your card. But at the same time, think about the good that was done for the church and the good that was done for them as they got to know members as they come through and got to develop those relationships. So the purpose of these gifts is for unity in the body. And that unity can be in small gifts. And Christ has told us over and over again that there are going to be various gifts. So be sure to look for those. So how should we serve in a way that promotes unity? Well, before I ask that question, any questions about anything we've talked about so far? Any questions, or even if you got a comment, we've got time to work through this today. This whole lesson is really an application lesson. It's about service and serving. We've talked about the theology of service, but it's really going to be what you take and go and do with what you learn today. Any questions so far? Our grape slicers just came in the door. Welcome. All righty, I'll kick us on. How should we serve in a way that promotes unity? And I'm going to give you four ways what service should look like and what our motivations to that service should look like. So the first one is we serve in God's strength and with great joy. 1 Peter 4:10 says, serve by the strength that God supplies. Our goal is not just good deeds, but joyful dependence. And let me give you a couple of examples to make it make sense. So Ken Martin is our deacon of buildings and grounds. So let's say Ken announces a cleanup day. And so he's got this cleanup day announced, and we have one member that says, hey, you know, that's something I can probably do. Besides, you know, the members of the church will see me doing it, and I'll get some brownie points, and it'll look good. I can accomplish this. And the member gets here, doesn't like the rake, doesn't like the service, doesn't like the rag, grumbles and fusses and complains about the whole deal until it's finally over with. And let's contrast that with another member that said that maybe he's physically ailing a little bit, maybe can't serve, but says, you know, I'd love to help the church out. I'd love to help with the unity of the church, but I just can't right now. But maybe I can come pour some coffee and just encourage people that are working. That member prays and then comes and then finds out, you know what, I've got this rag here. I can clean this up and I can do it to the glory of God, and I can do it with joy. I can do it in for God's glory. Look at those two examples. Which one does God get the glory, and which one is church united? And we're talking about Christians, right? I mean, this can happen. Now, I'm giving you that extreme example just so that you can see that what is the purpose? What is your view for serving? If your view is self, then you're serving out of the wrong motivation. But if your view is for the unity of the church and for the glory of God, then serve and serve all you can. It's there to do. So God is not concerned with only whether we use our gifts, but how we use our gifts. He's not concerned with just whether we use them, but he's concerned with how we use our gifts. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that verse is talking about financial giving, but it applies to our time, it applies to our gifts, it applies to our resources and our energy. We should be serving out of cheerfulness and not guilt. Let me give you another example. So Sunday evening service. So, you know, we have about 100 to 150 people that attend Sunday evening service. How many folks attend Sunday morning service? What's your guess? 500, 600 when college is in town. So we have a discrepancy there. What's up with that? Why do we have that discrepancy? Maybe. Hey, I'm pleased that people will. I mean, we do want people to set aside that time of Sunday morning and be committed to that. I could stand up here and I could guilt you if you're not coming to Sunday evening service, and I could pour it on pretty thick. But I don't want to do that. I don't want you to feel guilty. What I want you to do is come to Sunday evening service out of a joy in your heart, because you want to, because you want to understand more about the ministries in the church. You want to understand more about what the work that the Ingstalls are doing that we mentioned earlier. You want to see where you can serve, and you want to do that out of joy. You want to do that out of glory for God and service for the church. And that should be our motivation in whatever we do, whether we're coming to Sunday evening service, whether we're coming to Wednesday evening prayer service, whether we're cleaning up the yard, whether we're getting here on time, whatever it is, it should be, the motivation should be for the joy of Christ and for his glory. So that gets us to our second service gone wrong, is serving out of guilt rather than gratitude. So when we serve out of guilt rather than gratitude, what does that say about the things of God? What are we saying about the things of God when we serve out of guilt, out of gratitude? We're saying they're not more valuable than the other things in our life. I got another example. So Christian service can be like this. So let's say you have relatives and you're a small child. Say you're 5 or 6 years old. You all remember that. And you've got this relative that you know when you see her, she's going to grab you up, and she's going to give you a big old slobbery kiss, and she's going to peach you on your cheeks, talk about how precious you are. What do you think about that when you were 6 years old? You tolerated it because you knew if you acted up, your mom was going to jerk a knot in your tail, right? So you tolerated it. So let's pit that against, we all have relatives that are in different states and in different areas, and we take and make the sacrifice to go see those relatives because we love them. Even though none of us wants to get in a vehicle and drive 6, 8, 9, 10 hours, nobody enjoys that, I don't think. But we're willing to do that for the joy of getting to visit with them, to get in fellowship with them, and to get to know them. So see the difference between serving out of gratitude and serving out of joy. And so sometimes we get our service wrong when we serve out of guilt. So That gives us a question. What if my heart is cold in our service or is partly motivated by fear of man? What if that is my motivation? Should I refrain from serving? Is it hypocritical for me to serve if I don't have 100% joy? And I think you gotta just recognize the answer is a loud no. The answer is a loud no. Scripture commands us to give of ourselves. And so we see that in God's word. We're to strive to give out of a grateful and joyful heart. But at the same time, we need to recognize that we're sinners, and even our service will be imperfect. Recognize that we're sinners, and even our service will be imperfect. The thing I think we need to know is serve. Just serve. Pray for God to help us serve with joy and in His strength. If we serve, and then pray that God will let our motives become more and more pure as we develop relationships and get to know God more and more and receive His glory. Any questions? I'll pause real quick. Service in God's strength and with great joy. Any question? All right, our second is to serve in the knowledge that everyone's service is needed and valuable. 1 Corinthians 12. If you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be all over 1 Corinthians 12 for a little bit, and you can get there. Paul rejects the idea that any member of the body is useless or less important than any other. And he uses the image of a body with many members, and you see that in 1 Corinthians 12. He explains that the very existence of the body of Christ depends on the diversity of the gifts the Spirit has given the church. So we undermine that Spirit-given diversity when we compare ourselves with others. So he says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? And then he says in verse 19, if all were a single member, where would the body be? So answer that question. If it was all a single member, where would the body be? If it was all head, if it was all hand, where would the body be? Answer that for Paul. It wouldn't exist. There's no way possible it could exist. Our diversity is why we do exist. The various graces that God has given the church. So if we look at this claim of uselessness, if we're saying that, hey, maybe I'm not as useful as another, Paul points out God's sovereignty in the matter. In verse 18, he says, But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chose. So God is sovereign in His designing of all parts of the body and does it for our best interests. So what does that mean for us? It means we serve where we can, and we thank God for the gifts that we have. And we shouldn't feel useless or discontented because we're not serving in some particular way or capacity. You know, that we have many ways. If you think about it, there are many, many small ways that we serve the body that are crucial. How many of you know Jack Miller? Jack greets sometimes. You might not know this, but Jack has had a job at this church in a way that he serves for, I think, decades now. He used to do it with his wife. He's a widower, so an older gentleman. But one of the reasons that you was able to take the Lord's Supper last week is Jack, he puts those cups together. He cleans those cups. He keeps counts of those cups, how many he loses every week. Now, that seems small and insignificant, don't it? But think about how crucial that is for the function of the church. The Lord's Supper is one of our ordinances that we recognize. But every time we take it, you just need to know that Jack Miller has washed those cups. He's counted those cups and gathered it together so that we could do that. I wonder how many times he's been thanked for that over the years. I never knew it. I probably still wouldn't know it if Stephen hadn't told me that, hey, Jack says we got another man down. We got one cup down again. But he's committed to that. So something that small can lead to something that benefits us all. It benefits us all to come closer to God and understand who we are in light of God. So we need to understand that God's given the church many gifts. And those gifts, if you think about them, all the gift does is imparts grace to the church. It's the gift of God to impart grace to the church. So if we look, there's three different ways that we could be rich in our gifts. We could be rich in time. Perhaps you've got plenty of time. Maybe you're single. Maybe you're a college student. That's something you can do with yourself. You don't have a lot of resources. You don't have a lot of relationships yet in the church, but you do have time. And that's something you can do to help members move. Something as simple as that. Serve more. Maybe even babysitting. Perhaps you're rich in resources. What would you do if you was rich in resources? Support the church financially. Rich in relationships. Help others connect. You know, some people are just naturally relationships comes easy to some versus others. So help others connect if you're rich in relationships. Mentor teenagers. Invite others into your home for meals. Simple things like that to develop relationship. And I think we need to recognize that these can change over time and in various seasons of life. As we go through college, single, married with kids, empty nests, whatever season of life we're in, those resources can change. We could be rich in time, rich with resources, rich in relationships. What we need to do is recognize when those seasons change and then look for that ability to serve. I just want to encourage moms this morning. So if you're a mom and you're here, you perhaps are exhausted, which is very well likely. And then you're exhausted also because you feel like, I just can't serve like I want to. So there's a little bit of despair there. There's a little bit of feeling uselessness in there. But what I want to tell you, moms, what I want to encourage you, mom, is that's okay. God has put you in a season of life that, spending your time with your family, spending your time raising your kids, that's what you get to do. You know, maybe you're feeling a little less because somebody has got this great evangelistic story that they tell on Sunday night. But when you think that, just also think that God has given you 1, 2, 3, 4 little heathens, and you get to evangelize them all day long, all day long. But I just want y'all to be encouraged and to think about, hey, that it's great that you have a desire to serve. It's great that you want to do more. But look for that time in your life when you can do more and recognize that season. And then if we think about it, that applies to all of us. It just doesn't apply to moms. That applies to all of us. Recognize those seasons in life and serve when you can serve. So service gone wrong, number 3, is we give up serving because we don't see our contribution as important. So we should not value our service just based on the result. You know, and I think our example of that is the, what about the widow's 2 mites? What did we see there in the scripture? What did Christ say about her service? She gave more than the thousands. You know, it was probably just a penny, but she gave more than the thousands because of what she gave and how she gave and why she gave what she gave. So if we think about our service going wrong, we shouldn't see our contributions as unimportant. We should see every contribution as important to the grace of God, for the building up of the unity, for building up the body of Christ, for God getting the glory when you think about it. So another question we have is, does this mean that we can't desire or speak or seek to attain other gifts? Should we just be contented? Should we not desire other gifts? I think Scripture speaks clearly on that too. 1 Corinthians 14:1 tells us to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Later on in verse 12, it also says, excel in building up the church. Excel in building up the church. So look for those opportunities. And then I think what we've got to do is we've got to find that balance. We've got to balance the contentment in God's grace and the longing to be more like Christ. So if you put the two words together there is, we need to be content but eager. Is that you? That's great. I was afraid it was my phone. Sometimes I wonder if we could just plug in up here, turn it on and go. Content but eager needs to be it needs to be the way we think about it. So back to 14:1, we shouldn't be discontented with the gifts that God has given us, but it's healthy to seek and strive to other gifts. It's healthy to pursue love. It's healthy to be more like Christ. Any questions on any of that? All right, so we'll look at the flip side. So I think that's point C. Use your gifts humbly. And that's really the flip side to point 2. 1 Corinthians 12:21-26, Paul admonishes those who have been given gifts of greater responsibility to exercise those gifts with humility. Verse 21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. So those in positions of greater responsibility or visibility in the church must not lord their authority over others or carry out their duties with an air of superiority. Unity and diversity is impossible without Christ-like humility. Unity and diversity is impossible without Christ-like humility. And it seems like the place that it's needed the most is in leadership. There's a special warning there. When it doesn't happen, we can see people become territorial over ministry, bitter and suspicious of anyone that might suggest changes, and then we see unity of the church, devastating type results. So as we serve in humility, as we look that all gifts are for the glory of God, we don't put one over another, and then we recognize and honor the service of all members. And I think Philippians 2:3 probably gets us back to the nub of that the most, is consider others better than ourselves. Consider others better than ourselves. We see that in invisible or invisible ways we serve, significant or maybe even less significant ways we serve. And then some of the ways we can act that out is even our commitments. If we consider others better than ourselves, something as simply as once you make a commitment to serve in childcare, to be there and to be on time so that the next person can make their commitments that are going forward. I think those are things that are easy to work out and see. Other things you can do is just recognize the service in others, cards of encouragement, verbal recognition. You know, for people that run sound, hall monitors, uploading sermon, preparing newsletters, there's all kind of things that we can recognize and give God the glory. So what does it look like when we do this wrong? We see service going wrong, number four, grumbling that others are not doing their fair share. And where does this attitude come from? I think there's three things. Well, if you count lack of humility as one, is what we've been talking about, but I think there's three things. There's a poor understanding of constraints others are working under. We don't really know what is going on in our life. What are their handicaps? What's eating their time? What's eating their resources? If we grumble about someone else, we may not know what those constraints are. We could even have some pride in our life that confuses worth with the amount we serve. Could even have pride that confuses our worth with the amount we serve. And then we could also make an assumption that others are willfully neglecting service when they just don't understand how much joy it is to serve. We could make a bad assumption there. I want to give you an example just to drive that home. So Penny, several years ago, when we first moved to Arkansas, she had a pretty major surgery. Could barely get around. But like most women, she has a high tolerance for pain, and she was going to do her duties. So I couldn't convince her not to go to the grocery store. She was going to go to the grocery store. And when you looked at her, you said, okay, she looks pretty healthy. She's a 30-something-year-old that's getting around on two legs. She's parking in a handicapped spot, got a temporary permit. It was amazing how many people come up to her and just chewed her out for parking in that handicapped spot. Because what they saw, a 30-year-old walking on her own two legs going in the store, and they just made an assumption that here's somebody trying to beat the system. What a scumbag. They had no idea the great pain she was in and the great suffering she was in just to get into that door and make that assumption. Now, hey, that's a worldly example, but I tell it to tell you that we could do that as Christians. We could make those false assumptions about what we see. You know, just like the story I used earlier about Sunday evening service. So we drop off about 400 to 500 members for Sunday evening service. I could jump right away and make some assumptions, right? But not knowing the whole story, not having the relationship and that depth of commitment and breadth of commitment, I need to give pause to my assumptions and give pause to my pride and give pause to my lack of understanding. And so that's one of the ways that we get service wrong, is when we grumble about others not doing their fair share. Any questions? Clicking along pretty good. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that too would be part of it. I mean, God would use the encouragement of others to promote more serving.
Absolutely. And it is a step change from some. So we talked about that a little bit. We talked about consumerism in the church. Churches built around consumers versus churches built around sacrificial giving. And so what Stephen's talking about is when we do, elders do lead out in ministry, deacons facilitate ministry, and then who does ministry? It's the congregation. Now, it may not go as smooth as if you hire everything out, but the thing that we really want to come out of that is those relationships that develop from that. Those relationships develop of giving and service and getting to know one another. And then when you give and sacrifice, you're glorifying God and promoting unity. Absolutely. We need to excel in the church, excel in unity, for sure. And that leads us into our fourth point. Serve to glorify God, benefit others and yourself. So serving faithfully glorifies God by giving back to Him what is His. We see in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, including the strength and time He gives us. That's why to think about service, you need to think about your whole lifestyle, what we do with every hour. Not just Sundays, says something about our view of God and what He means to us. And then serving faithfully benefits others in the church. You know, if you provide a meal, that gives sustenance. If you give someone a ride to church, that allows someone else to grow under the preaching of the Word. Maybe you serve at the book stall. That helps countless others benefit from godly resources that's able to change their life. And so when we commit our time and strength, we're working directly for others to grow in joy and knowledge of a God. We'll commit our time and strength. We're working directly for others to grow in the knowledge and joy of God or of Christ. And that's not all. Serving faithfully brings us greater joy than selfishness and forces us to depend on God's strength. It helps us appreciate the ultimate act of service that Christ did for us. It teaches us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And then a life of service is simply a happier life than a life of selfishness. Service makes us less self-focused, but ironically, as it does so, God has ordained things so that it's actually the way to a life of satisfaction and contentment. When we structure our life so that service is a priority, it forces us to depend on more on God's strength. And if we look at our service going wrong the fifth way, little service because your heart has been captured by the world. So when our heart is captured by the world, we believe the lie of self-indulgent and self-focus bring in greater joy. It mixes our priorities, so to speak. And then number six, we see that serving only up to what is seen as acceptable in the eyes of others. Serving only up to see what is acceptable in the eyes of others. We need to serve out of the strength that God gives us. So before we leave today, let's look close at two points of application. Two things, two ways that we can go and do this serving and go do more. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." Why is that verse there, you think? "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." Why is that verse there? Because you'll grow weary. I mean, that's a given. You don't need to think that you're going to be a super Christian and never have those times where you need to get on your knees before God. You're going to grow weary in well-doing. You know, year's going to follow year. We're going to be tempted to pull back or even stop. Maybe we even get caught up in the busyness of life and we lose sight of our larger goal. And then we neglect our relationship with God and rely on our own strength. So how would we neglect our relationship with God and rely on our own strength? What do you think? Yeah. And then to not grow weary, we're going to have to spend time in God's Word. We're going to have to spend time in prayer to keep from growing weary.
Well, and I think to Paul's point, I think some of that weeping is standing before Right? And that's got to be the reason that we persevere. It's not for the praise of men, but for the glory of God.
Yeah. So our strength comes from Christ. So to bear fruit, we must abide in Christ. We must abide in the vine. So just as food provides fuel for the body that's necessary for our physical well-being, spending time in God's word and prayer provides the spiritual nourishment that motivates us to serve. And it ignites us to serve and understand the grandeur and the grace of God, our Lord and Savior. If we look at our last instance of where we do this wrong, we exhaust ourselves in service because we rely only on our own strength. When we exhaust ourselves in service, we're looking at where do we get our encouragement from? Are we getting it from men, or are we getting this encouragement from God? So we need to take a look at the encouragement structure in our life. Is it sustainably sacrificial? And those two words sound like they may be a contradiction, but we need to serve sustainably. And what that means is that we need to spend time in the word and prayer to sustain us in that service, or we will grow weak. We will lose our vision and lose our focus and understand that we're really doing all this for the unity of the church. We're really doing all this for that purpose that we learned back in Ephesians 3:10, so that the glory of God may be made known to all creation. And we understand that. So let's look at, dig this in into UBC a little bit. So we've got formal and informal service opportunities in our church. You know, if you want a more formal service opportunity, check out the deacons page in the members section of the website. Have you ever asked a deacon how you could help them? Don't wait on a deacon to reach out. Ask them, hey, how can I help you in this ministry? Giving rides to church, parking and greeting, ordinances, member care, book stall, ushers, buildings and ground, safety, sound, several formal ways that we can serve in there. There's even more opportunities, child care. We've mentioned that in several times. Plenty of formal opportunities for that we could serve. We could go on and on. You could even listen for opportunities on Sunday evenings, weekly newsletters, Focus and Be Steadfast, opportunities to pray, opportunities to provide meals, comfort and encouragement, benevolence, support, and just look for general opportunities to serve. We have all these ways to get these opportunities out in front of you. But the last thing I think we need to look at is some of the most powerful ministry in our church is not connected with any formal ministry, but it's informal and relational. And that's what I'd like to focus in on here at the last. We need to prioritize informal and relational ministry in our lives. We keep it simple. There's two ways to keep this very simple. We can disciple others. And then I think sometimes when we think about discipling, that on first blush, we're like, oh, what is that? I don't know if that's a big word. I don't know what I can do there. But I think we need to understand that discipling, if we just give it a simple definition and understand what it is really simply, it's just meeting with someone over God's word to do them spiritually good. It's just meeting with someone around God's word to do them spiritual good. It can be that simple in discipling. And then the other one that's informal is hospitality. Forming encouraging deep relationships takes time. So it's gonna require us to take that time and invite folks over for dinner. Maybe we go up to someone and talk to them that's on the fringe. Maybe we see somebody that's on the fringe that's not well connected. But make that sacrifice. It may make you a little uneasy. Maybe you're not good at coming up to someone you don't know well, or you're not comfortable with it. But let me encourage you, just do it. Just go serve, because it's building up the body. It's building up, it's giving Christ the glory. You're not doing it for your own benefit. You're doing it for their benefit. You're doing it for the glory of Christ. And then make the effort to form a relationship with someone that's not as good at relationships. We see that all the time. I've had folks even come up to me and say, hey, I appreciate you doing this. I'm just naturally an awkward person. I'm like, yes, you are. Glad you. But just do it. If you do this out of love, if you pursue love, if you do it out of love for Christ, it'll be known for its work. Don't let the fear of man stop you from practicing these informal ministries. And really, that's what we want. Think about that as it develops through discipling and through hospitality. That's going to deepen those relationships. That's going to allow you to see the needs in someone's life. That's going to allow you not to make assumptions when you see them doing what they shouldn't do. It's going to allow you not to have pride in your own life and all those other things that we talked about. The thing about these informal relationships is you can do those on your own time. you it should be something that you can accomplish. You can work that into your schedule, ever how busy it is, and accomplish those tasks. And when we see that worked out, that's really what we see coming together in the class. I've talked about breadth of commitment, depth of commitment. That's really working that out. That's really that compelling community, as we've mentioned over and over again, that shows the world who God is. It's using the church to show the world who God is and his glory and the majesty of his name. So, wrapping up, I've got a conclusion there that talks about decades of service for God's glory. And I just wanted to take this time just to mention a few folks, just so you know that, hey, there are people in our midst that for decades have served. Even if we look at the Christian church, for about 2,000 years, God's people have faithfully served the church. And they've been driven by a love of God and a desire to glorify him. And then we're just going to take this moment just to praise God for how we see that exemplified in some examples at UBC. And so in our own midst, we have Jim Watson. Jim has been going here for decades. You'll see him greeting. He's faithful to greeting. The other thing you'll see him faithfully doing is visiting homebound members. It's not advertised. He doesn't get a lot of accolades for it, but every week he's faithful to serve in those small ways. I think of Treva Hamilton and Imelda McClinton. You know, they serve greatly with our senior members and have been doing that for a number of years. Rick Luttrell, if you don't know Rick, you know Rick. So Rick Luttrell serves faithfully in the bus ministry, serves faithfully out in parking and greeting, has been doing it for decades. I think of Wayne and Mildred Summers. Every Wednesday evening, if you want to find Wayne and Mildred, every Wednesday evening, they're in this room over here behind us, and they're praying for needs of this church. They're praying for the ministry of this church, and they're praying for the souls of the children of this church every Wednesday. I think of Tanner and Thelma Riley. You know, Tanner used to lead music in this church. Thelma used to direct We Care. They're one of those ones that during their time of service, they were in a great need and a great use. Well, now that they're older, that scope of life has changed, their situation has changed, but they still do what they can. They'll be, if there's a service at UBC, they will be there. Sunday evening, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, special called session, they will be here at this church and serve this church faithfully and have been doing it for decades. And then I think the thing to recognize is all of these folks do this cheerfully and without much recognition. Most of them would be embarrassed to know that I was talking about them today. They wouldn't probably like it as much. But I want to do it, and I wanted to show you that there's godly examples of how to serve. If you want to know how they serve, they would love to talk to you about it. They've got decades of service. Go grab them, visit with them, have lunch with them, have dinner with them. Maybe even today invite them to dinner if you got time. They would love that. I think the thing we got to see is we're a people that are driven to serve because the Lord Jesus Christ, he served us supremely. We're driven to serve because God has served us supremely. I think we got time for a little bit of questions if you have any, or comments. Okay, let me leave you with these words from John 15:14. And this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus says, he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the strength of your word. We thank you for the clarity that you give us. Father, as we go out and make application of this word, fill us with your spirit so that we're serving out of a heart of joy and gratitude, Lord. Strengthen us as a church that we encourage others in our body, that we serve where we see, that we don't sit around and wait, Lord, but we meet needs as we see them. And Father, we want to do this all for your glory, for your name, and all to show a lost and dying world the greatness of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen.